Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hold it, don't nobody move. Before we start the show, let's talk about our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. You know the drill. The Bob Seska Show is almost entirely fueled by our Patreon subscribers, and we couldn't do 4+ shows a week without your generous financial support. If you dig what you hear today, please consider signing up for our Shadow Docket bonus show every Tuesday and Thursday for just $5 per month. Used to be called the Postmortem Show, but with the support of our existing subscribers, we changed the name to The Shadow Docket. I guess not a lot of Latin fans out there. Same show, same exclusive content, but an all new name. Again, that's $5 per month at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, yes. Hi. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, September 16, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob. How you doing?
Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi. Day 238 of the Biden-Harris administration, 419 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And, I think we're going to do this again. Yeah? Here we go.
Jody on the show. That's what we're waiting for.
Yes, we are.
He's here.
I'm gonna talk with Seska and T-Rex some more.
No!
Nothing really grows with Jody on the show.
Yeah.
With Seska.
That's me, but no David. No David today. Instead, we're gonna do this once more.
When you say Bob's birthday.
He's here.
You've said it all.
Okay. So let me see here. Let's start out Jody Hamm. I'm going to introduce Jody Hamm.
Can I do this part?
Okay.
He's Bob.
Yeah, please
he's
do.
Bob. She's Jody. I'm Buzz. And we're all wearing what we wore to the Met Gala.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't get around my skirt. It's in the entire room.
It takes up a lot of space. That's true.
Okay, well, Jody Hamilton is from the Bunker podcast. You know this, from-the-bunker.com. Also, patreon.com/from-the-bunker. And, of course, sexyliberal.com is the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, your podcasting superstation. And, of course, we all know Buzz from the Tuesday show.
Hi.
The great Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz. Thank you for joining us again today. David, I got to say, for all of you David T. Rex Ferguson fans, mm-hmm. David is having a really rough time right now. And it's mainly due to the fact that he's moving out of this great house. We've been following the saga of David's moving misadventures for quite some time now. His landlord is, I guess, selling the place. So David and his husband, Ben, have to bail out. And now they've moved into a place that, according to David, is smaller but more expensive. So not exactly the thrilling moving on kind of Jefferson's scenario that we would have hoped for. So, you know, and of course, David, you know, when you move out of a place that you've lived in forever, you've got all kinds of memories. He's got memories of his cats who have gone over the Rainbow Bridge. And then, of course, he remembers his mom. And so he's just having a really hard emotional time right now. So
but a move like that is the same as a fire. And it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. Moving is the most stressful thing you can do. And I, oh, my God. I have been there so many times, especially when I lived in Hawaii. I mean, we would find a great place, and then there would be some horrible snafu about the place, some major glitch that we would, as soon as we'd move in, we'd be like, okay, well, we got to move again. And it was just a nightmarish process where in 5 years, I think I must have lived in 6 or 7 different places in just the course of 5 years. So I really understand what David's going through right now. Well, so
being
hopefully
in radio, being in radio, moving from town to town and up and down the dial. Because what happens there is you may not get attached to your apartment,
right.
You get attached to your people there.
Yeah.
I mean, I moved so much as a kid because I went to 4 different high schools.
Oh, right.
In 2 different states on 2 different islands in Hawaii. So wow. I had my friend Sean, who I do my show with, he was just like, I'm just going to put your phone number in pencil.
That's a good idea.
Smart. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
A good idea. I was asked, what do you get somebody, like a married couple, and he's in radio, she's in radio, what do you get them for a gift? I said, luggage. Luggage.
Which is also the preferred gift that you send to a rival morning show when you beat them in the ratings. You buy them luggage, of course.
But I got to hear, there's also a physical challenge for T-Rex in this move, isn't there, Jody?
Yes.
Yeah, well, his little arms.
His little arms, that's right.
His little T-Rex arms. It's really difficult to unpack when you can't reach in very deeply.
Now we get to the truth.
Yes. So please, I mean, if you follow David on Facebook or on Twitter or any place else, make sure to send him a little note, some hugs and some love for our T-Rex as he tries to pack up all of his belongings with his teeny tiny arms. Best wishes to our friend David Ferguson. So,
amen.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be back next week. That's at least what he says. He assures me that everything will be fine and dandy next week. So we'll be sure to put a sappy song on the show to make him cry.
That always works.
Yes.
He better be back next week because I got to go to Costco.
That's right. I'm sorry. I interrupted your Costco run, and shame on me for that. All of those samples waiting to be eaten by the great Buzz Burbank. Yeah. Are you guys into that? I can't stand doing that.
No, food
that's laying out for the general public, I just assume it's loaded with all kinds of griblies and disease and COVID and all the rest of it.
Not even pre-pandemic.
No, absolutely not. So speaking of disease and speaking of balls, meatballs.
I like big balls.
I've got to consult with two of my best friends here. What the fuck is the deal with Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's balls, and why does anyone care?
Jody, you go first because I'm gonna check for swelling.
You go check for swelling, Buzz.
I mean,
balls are fine.
That is good news. I heard Stephanie Miller's balls are doing great
fine.
As well.
I'm a little worried about Tom Brady's balls, but that's later.
Well, we all are.
I don't know about STDs for men or bacterial infections that somebody may have gotten from, say, a lady person.
Yeah.
Maybe in an area that you're not supposed to have.
Sure,
that's
most likely. Yeah.
You know, because you can get. Anyway, clean it. Kids. Anyway,
clean your balls. Let that be a note from Jody Hamilton on this.
Clean your balls and other areas where things might be stuck in them.
And wash under that foreskin. But
wash, yes, definitely.
And
if you are uncircumcised, make sure that everything is clean up in there.
Yes, and sit down comfortably and carefully.
Thank you, and carefully, because he could have his balls hanging now in the toilet.
Yeah.
Anyway,
absolutely.
Or they may not fit. We don't know how big they are.
I'm starting to get nauseous. Is that normal?
It is normal. Okay. What I find hilarious about this story is like that didn't happen from the vaccine. Otherwise, I think it would have been reported.
Yeah. So basically, the story with Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's balls is that he reported that the vaccine caused his balls to swell up. Is that this person's cousin's friend's ball? Yeah.
Exactly. Let's trace this. Nicki Minaj says that her cousin says that his friend says, we're already playing the telephone game, that he got swollen testicles from the vaccine, which, by the way, the STDs that can cause that are both gonorrhea and chlamydia.
Ah, both of them.
Okay,
hey,
either one. He may have both. What? Well, may have one in one and the other in the other.
But at least it narrows it down, right?
And then her other thing was, and that's why his fiance left him.
No.
whatever.
He fucked around on you, lady, and she found out that way.
And Nicki Minaj has 22 million followers. So
just on Twitter.
At this point, it caused the health minister of Trinidad
to
launch an investigation that determined that no, Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend did not have swollen testicles,
from,
at least from getting the vaccine. And the White House, meanwhile, has reached out to Nicki's people
and said,
we will hook you up with a doctor on the phone if you want to talk about this. And good for the White House, because they're trying to get to the source of disinformation that reaches 22 million people.
That's
just on Twitter, because she has another, several million on Instagram and probably on Facebook as well. I think somebody said she had like 100 million followers total with all of her social media. Now, again, probably a lot of those are doubles, but still, that's a huge reach to a community in general that is still a little vaccine hesitant. Not as much as white folks that live in the South that are Trump voters, but still.
Well, the amazing thing about it is 22 million followers, and I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating when I say this, and this is kind of the Gen X side of me. I'm completely out of touch, and I'll admit that. I'm 50 years old. I'm not as wired into pop songs and pop musicians as I probably should
sure,
be.
Sure, Bob, because I think you like, Chapin.
I'm wired into the indie music scene, but not so much the Billboard Hot 100 or whatever it is. So if Nicki Minaj walked up to me and kicked me in my balls, I'd have no idea who the hell just kicked me in the balls. Right, I would have no recognition whatsoever of who this person is, Nicki Minaj. If you were to ask me right now, put a gun to my head and say, name a Nicki Minaj song.
I wouldn't know either.
My brains would be all over the wall.
We've just revealed our ages.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I'm 54. I haven't listened to, I only listen to pop radio when Lonnie and I go see his mom like in Palm Springs.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and that's it. And it's not Nicki Minaj, because it's white pop radio.
Yeah.
It's Taylor Swift, who I think is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's very rarely tuned.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, it's generic girl voice.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Well, that's exactly right. This illustrates how out of touch I am. Because not only do I not recognize Nicki Minaj or any of her music, which, later I'll be ashamed that I've admitted this. But for now, I don't mind. But the fact that we're talking about Nicki Minaj's cousin's friends.
In Nigeria.
Balls.
Yeah, in Nigeria.
In Trinidad.
Trinidad. Yeah, right. Oh my God, who the fuck cares? But one thing I'm happy about is that Tucker Carlson has picked up this story. So the longer he's talking about Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's balls, that's fine with me. Please keep doing that. Please chase that shiny object, Tucker, because as long as he's not talking about serious things, then maybe that buys a little extra time for American democracy. You know what I mean?
I apologize for my error, but on the Tucker Carlson show, while he was talking about that, the Chiron said Nicki Minaj's cousin's testicles had swollen.
They were already lying about that.
But see, this is like the telephone game. It goes from the friend to the cousin to Nicki Minaj to 22 million people to Fox News to their viewer. Oh, my God.
To Ferris Bueller.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that assumes also that Nicki Minaj's cousin is a guy. I mean, Nicki Minaj's cousin could be a woman.
It assumes that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, we were talking about Jody's balls and Stephanie Miller's balls. So you never know. You never know.
I got big balls. You got big balls.
Oh, yes. And thank you to the Stephanie Miller Show for putting that earworm in my head for the rest of the day.
Oh, come on. It's funny.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, it's like,
I met those guys. They're really sweet guys. It's funny, except the drummer who had an issue. But other than that, very nice band.
It's like when AC/DC recorded a silly song. You know, you can put that on the same record as On Top of Spaghetti and John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt or whatever.
Yes.
You know, it's just like that kind of a silly song. Yeah. Thank you, AC/DC, for this torture. Okay. So, geez, where do we go from here? A possible nuclear.
It's your show, dude.
Yeah. Let's.
You steered us this way, man.
No. I guess we can talk about the Koreas launching missiles at the same time. North Korea, South Korea both did missile launch tests hours apart. So we go right from Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's balls to nuclear standoff on the Korean Peninsula. How about that for a segue? And they say, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm mostly concerned about North Korea deciding, hey, the Taliban's open for business. Let's mm-hmm. talk to those guys. Right. Maybe they're looking to buy some nuclear material. Yeah. And that scares the shit out of me. I mean, I'm sorry to go from something that's semi-fun and weird to, oh, God, what if North Korea sells the Taliban nuclear technology and, yeah. and well, fissile material?
You should be sorry, but it's true. And it is a genuine point of concern.
Yeah.
And I don't know who fired first in today's test. I haven't caught up with that part of it yet. I know North Korea fired a test on 9/11, I believe. Yeah. And now again today. I think in the case of the South Korean test, it's not an encouraging sign, but maybe it's a deterrence, a reminder to North Korea that there are consequences for that kind of behavior. I would like to know how you guys feel in this context about the U.S. and the U.K. helping Australia develop a nuclear submarine, nuclear sub-technology, as a deterrent against China. On one hand, I'm very concerned about China's military capability and the threat it poses to the world. But on the other hand, I don't want us building more nuclear weapons.
So, same here. Yeah.
I'm really torn on this.
I'm kind of unfamiliar with that story, Buzz. When did that get started? Is that something that was new
it was
upon?
President Biden announced it. Was it last night or the night before? I've lost track.
No. Oh, but, interesting.
Yeah, with the last two nights, and perhaps even last night, I lose track of time so much. But Biden himself announced that we were joining with the UK to help Australia develop a nuclear submarine technology as a deterrent to China.
I see. Okay. Well, I guess, you know what? A nuclear submarine is different than an actual submarine that has, like, we have the nuclear triad and submarine-launched missiles are part of that triad. But this submarine, does this launch nuclear missiles or is it just nuclear-powered? Yes.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, obviously it will be armed. That's the idea of the deterrence.
Yeah,
but I would need to read more details, and I didn't know I was going to be here today.
You see, he didn't.
I didn't mean to.
You're prepped like I am, Buzz.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to quiz you on your day off. Yeah.
That's all right.
I guess before I get overly freaked out about that and the Biden administration somehow, reinvigorating the idea of nuclear proliferation, I'm going to assume that it's just nuclear powered and that it may not actually have missile launch capability, at least in terms of nukes. So I want to look into
that. Couldn't it be because didn't Trump get out of our nuclear deal with Russia?
Yes.
So it could be that.
Jesus God. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, was there any doubt in anyone's mind during that 4-year span that Trump at any second could launch a nuclear attack, that at any second, at the very least, he could have done a test in the South Pacific or something like that to swing his tiny balls around and go, look at this, look at what I did.
He doesn't have swollen balls.
No,
and he wouldn't have messed around. He wouldn't have messed around with the test. He wanted the big show.
Yeah.
He wanted to drop the big one as a way of getting reelected. He thought that the country would unite behind him and he would easily win reelection if he were to do such a thing. So he considered it. And thank goodness people like General Milley are in place, despite Milley marching with him with that Bible, which I think he kind of got tricked into didn't know where that was going. I can forgive him for that in exchange for what he did to save the world locking Trump out of the nuclear weapons formula there in the final days of the Trump administration.
Yeah, well, thank God we dodged that bullet. But it was one of those things where I think this was the centerpiece of why I was so filled with anxiety for a full 4 years.
You said it many times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I felt like any second. And I didn't talk about it that much. I didn't want to freak anyone out. I didn't want to sit here on the show every week or every Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and go, oh, my God, Trump could launch nukes at any second. Hang on tight.
Yeah. But, yeah. And again, I thought, Bob may be a little overreacting here. And,
that's right.
As is so often, so often the case, he was not.
Well, he was always nukes curious.
He would have used a nuke on California for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah, and that was the concern. I think as of January 8th, a couple of days after the insurrection, I think that's when Milley and Nancy Pelosi were like, oh shit, he's right. lost his spadoinkle. He's going to do something crazy. And that's when that plan by Mark Milley swung into action. I mean, that's where he took, I think, the strongest action to try to avoid something like that. And the analysis that's coming from guys like Tom Nichols and other experts in terms of nuclear weapons and the use of nuclear weapons is that it's very likely that Mark Milley, what he was doing was providing cover for lower level people, lower level officers down the chain of command. As far as right. Launch preparations and things like that go. So he was basically saying, and now we've got Mark Esper. There's another element to all this. We're going to get to that in a second. But with Milley, he was basically providing cover for those people, saying, look, I'm the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I'll take the heat if right. you need to countermand any crackpot orders from the president as far as
any illegal order.
Yeah, right. exactly right. And now we've got CNN's Josh Rogan just reported on Twitter today. He said, senior defense official confirms to me an Axios reporting on Esper's role in China calls. Milley was absolutely not going rogue. Esper, Mark Esper, right. took the initiative on this in October. Esper asked his own policy folks to back channel the message. Milley's message followed Esper's. So Esper was, remember Donald Trump referred to Esper as Esperanto during right. one of his tweets? Well, yeah. it was Esper, the Secretary of Defense, mm-hmm. who started the process in October. To be clear, Esper's message to other countries conveyed by OSD staff was one of general reassurance and keeping lines of communication open. It did not include specific reporting on Woodward's book about a purported Milley promise to warn China before any attack. So this was something that was scuttlebutt throughout the Pentagon in those days, and it was completely justified as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you'd have to be nuts. I was talking to Fugelsang last night, and he played a clip of someone during a press conference. So this reporter was like baffled that this could have gone on, that this could have actually happened. How could this possibly be okay that he violated the chain of command and all of this and maybe undermined the commander in chief, et cetera, et cetera. And like, you know, look, I appreciate the concept of holding our leadership accountable, especially when you get into gray area here versus the, you know, where you have the military personnel, the Pentagon versus the civilian leadership at the Pentagon. And I understand that. I understand quizzing and trying to find out how the TikTok played out. But when it comes to Donald Trump, I think we all have to recognize the fact that he was and still is a mental case. Donald Trump has antisocial personality disorder. He's a sociopath. He is capable of anything. He is, as I've been saying for the last few days, he is a chimp with a machine gun. 63 million Americans handed a chimp a machine gun. And the machine gun is in the form of the nuclear codes. And that was a phenomenal error in judgment. I mean, to say this guy is capable of having the nuclear codes, oh, he can completely be judicious with it. And, you know, he can be a statesman and everything's going to be okay.
No! Thank goodness the military has the prerogative to disobey an illegal order, as Jody pointed out there. To me, something that the three of us have to remember is that most Americans are completely unaware that a chimp with a machine gun had to be corralled by our top military officials
yeah.
to prevent a nuclear war. That's how crazy this president was. Mm-hmm. And most Americans, and I would include Democrats, Republicans, and independents in this, most Americans, as the three of us speak, are unaware of it.
Well, and most Trump voters believe that Donald Trump, as soon as he entered office, was going to become more presidential, that he was suddenly going yeah. to.
Where was that?
Yeah, he was going to organize himself. He was going to hire, you know, the best people, as he promised. And there were going to be people like David Gergen coming in and helping him out and showing him the ropes, how to be a real president, not just this phony baloney celebrity right. sociopath who was occupying the Oval Office. And that was the that was sort of the conventional wisdom. Even in those days immediately following the 2016 election, we'd be like, you know what? Don't worry about it. It's okay. Look, Chris Christie's doing the transition. Everything's going to be fine. He's fine.
No! And as the three of us know, Republicans have known this all along. We yeah. find out in the new book by Robert Costa and Bob Woodward that Paul Ryan was doing research on how to handle a toxic narcissist.
Yes.
God.
At the beginning of the Trump era. And so at the very start, from the very start, Republicans knew something was wrong, and Paul Ryan was Googling, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, yeah. And I think even some people thought that Mike Pence was going to be sort of, for lack of a better term, a cooling saucer. That's how they refer to the Senate. The Senate is a cooling saucer. But, I mean, that Mike Pence would be in there, and he'd be a voice of reason and stability. But, of course, no.
Dan Quayle was the voice of reason.
Yes.
Who knew?
That's amazing. This exchange between Pence and Quayle is startling.
A brain trust for you.
Yeah. I mean, according
to Al Gore had to certify an election that he won.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And that was, I mean, we've all seen the video of that, and he went right along with it. I mean, he understood. Yeah. And to an extent, Pence knew what was in the Constitution. His fealty was to Donald Trump. His fealty,
and Trump's voters, and he was looking for a way out. And he looked to Quayle, and Quayle said, there is no way out. You have to do this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Mike Pence would allow a bus to run over his penis in order to gain like half a point of support from the Red Hats. I mean, this is how masochistic Mike Pence is. He doesn't care. So, I mean, naturally, according to this book by Costa and Woodward, so intense was Pence on being Trump's loyal second in command and potential successor that he asked confidence if there were ways he could accede to Trump's demands and avoid certifying the results of the election on January 6th. In late December, the authors reveal, Pence called Dan Quayle, a former vice president, fellow Indiana Republican, for advice. Mm-hmm. Quayle fortunately made clear to his ally that he had no choice in how to approach his responsibilities. Mike, you have no flexibility in this, Quayle told Pence. None, zero, forget it, put it away. There's no wiggle room there.
And that conversation came, I believe, after the conversation with Trump, in which Trump said, if you don't do this for me, I won't be your friend anymore.
Yeah. I won't be your friend anymore. Oh, I'm not going to be your friend, and we're not going to hang out, and I'm gonna make all of my other friends not like you, and we're not going to play hopscotch, and we're not gonna play stickball, and you're just like the worst if you don't do what I want.
That is awesome. Yeah. Where was that voice for the last 4 years? Oh, my God. Why weren't we doing that bit for 4 years? I love it. Yeah, he said, I don't want to be your friend anymore if you do this. He later told Pence, you betrayed us. I made you. You were nothing.
I made you. That is so Trumpian. That's so him.
Yes, isn't it?
That is so him.
Oh, my God. So sad. What a teeny tiny brittle little man Donald Trump is. And Pence is even worse. Patton Oswalt jokes about Ted Cruz returning to liquid form overnight to regenerate his energy.
Yes, I love that.
Oh, my God. Mike Pence is much more gelatinous than Ted Cruz ever is. And
I know y'all tried to hang me, but can we still be friends?
I know. And don't forget Steve Bannon's role in all of this. Woodward and Costa also included some nuggets about Steve Bannon. And of course, we all know Steve Bannon as being one of the agents of chaos. He just loves this concept. And on top of all of that, he believes that, you know, the American Republic is on the decline and that our political leadership, our business leadership is just managing the decline.
How'd that happen?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I mean, he was saying this in 2016, 2015, maybe even. I think that was one of his pitches to Donald Trump. Hey, you can go in and help manage the decline. Trump was like, I'm thinking about that. Yeah.
American carnage.
Yeah, yeah. One of the core elements of this book is January 6th, according to CNN. It says that Steve Bannon played a crucial role in the events leading up to January 6th. Bannon apparently told Trump on December 30th he should return to Washington for January 6th, allegedly saying, quote, you've got to call Pence off the fucking ski slopes and get him back here today. This is a crisis. The authors wrote that Bannon told Trump that January 6th was the moment of reckoning. People are going to go, what the fuck is going on here, Bannon believed. We're going to bury Biden on January 6th. Fucking bury him, Bannon said. Wow. And that guy has the former president's ear. That guy.
And they're all running around free.
Yeah, that's, oh my God. And that kind of leads us into this this Durham probe, which is apparently they've got a new scalp. I think the John Durham investigation, they're looking into indicting a lawyer who's connected to the Clintons.
That's the only reason that they're looking
for that. For his part in starting in helping to start the Russia investigation.
Yeah.
Right. He basically had information. He turned it over to the FBI. yep. of statement.
Right.
Exactly right. And so if, God damn it, if John Durham manages to win an indictment in this Trump-Russia investigation of his and, right. and Trump himself gets away
I
with it,
we'll see.
Someone needs to have a chat with Merrick Garland.
You yeah, know what
I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be a goddamn shame.
I think this would be a really good time, because you mentioned the FBI there, which obviously has a number of serious problems today. Yeah. Including the Brett Kavanaugh investigation, including the Nassar investigation. The FBI is not looking real good right now. This seems to me to be an excellent time for
yeah.
President Biden to fire Christopher Wray as a warning to Eric Garland. Merrick Garland. Leave Merrick Garland in place. This
yeah.
would be my strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Fire Christopher Wray and then give a glance to Merrick Garland so he knows he could be next.
Yeah,
You know, I think that may be the way it gets handled. I love the way Biden is handling things right now
yeah.
And throughout. This, to me, seems like something he could, would, and might do.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And look, I would not want to get on Biden's bad side right now.
No.
And it looks like he's about to unleash on Joe Manchin about filibuster mm-hmm. reform.
Yeah. And I think he's waited. A lot of people have been frustrated. Why hasn't he done it before now?
Yeah.
Biden knows well enough how things work and yeah. how mm-hmm. windows open and close.
Yeah.
And I think right now, over the next maybe 3 months, I believe it is, he has a very limited window before things kind of get out of his control. But
yeah.
right now, he's got a lot of control, and he can use that time. And I think he's waited. I think Biden has a history of doing things or trying to do things at just the right time. I
mm-hmm.
think he knows the importance of timing. And I think he's waited on a number of these things until now. As I said Tuesday, he's shown with the vaccine mandate, he's not messing around anymore. He's about to show the same thing with the filibuster and
yeah.
voting rights. He's not only fed up like the rest of us, he has waited until what he believes is the ideal time. And you know what? He's doing such a good job. I trust his judgment. I think he knows more about this than I do.
Yeah. I mean, I had a very similar conversation with Jen Kirkman via DM on Twitter, and she's feeling very hopeful right now in terms of how Joe Biden's going to manage this lobbying over the filibuster. And I mentioned to Jen, I said, you know what, look, Joe Biden's been doing this on Capitol Hill for as long as we've been alive.
Right.
I mean, for 50 right. goddamn years, Joe right. Biden has been negotiating with senators on the Hill mm-hmm. over things just like this. And so if there's anyone in Washington, D.C. right now who can get results in the United States Senate, it's Joe Biden. I don't know of anyone else who has that kind of know-how.
He knows where all the levers are.
Absolutely.
And if Manchin can't deliver the 10 senators because Mitch McConnell has basically said, we're not voting for their
right, right.
Another great
because
impression.
His lie.
Yeah.
because he's lying about what the voter suppression laws are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or it's not about race. No, it's not. It's actually about political affiliation, which I think is just as bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, he's not going to, if Manchin can get 10 votes, good for him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he can.
No, and McConnell's already said, and we've gone through this, we've done this dance so many times,
yeah.
and this is another reason I think Biden's about to act.
Yeah.
He's waited patiently on, mm-hmm. on Manchin. Manchin said, hang on, let me see if I can get a deal that Republicans will sign on to.
Mm-hmm.
They get a deal that Manchin can sign on to because he thinks Republicans
right.
will go along with it. And what happened to the process is the act got watered down.
Yeah.
Manchin likes it now because they've taken the anti-corruption part.
Exactly. But at least it's better than nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But what happens, just like every other time, Lucy in the football, McConnell
yep.
says no. You know, first they say, no, we're not going to support this, monopartisan, bill. And so the Democrats work to try to find a compromise, something they think the Republicans will accept. And they come up with that and they go back and the Republicans and McConnell say, no, we've decided not to do that one either. So we end up with a watered down bill again.
Yep.
It's going to be better than nothing if they can pass this bill, and we need Manchin's vote to do it. So
yeah.
we may have to go with this watered down bill
and
deal
we
with the
get
corruption
it,
later. Yeah.
And the thing is if we do get this, then the mm-hmm. Georgia law will probably not stand and
mm-hmm.
Texas laws and other laws won't stand, which means we have an opportunity to, A, keep the House and take the Senate.
Yes, because it gives us a better chance to increase our majorities and make Manchin irrelevant.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. Ultimately, they've got to do this. The Democrats have to, just moving back to the filibuster for a second, they've got to reform the filibuster. Because if they don't, if the Democrats don't do it, the Republicans absolutely will.
Oh, they'll get rid of it completely.
Oh, they
won't even reform it. They'll just get rid of it.
Well, a lot of, we have to, on some, because we don't have a great majority, we have a weak majority.
Yeah.
I think we have to tiptoe into this. But once we get the what is it called, the Right to Vote Act or whatever it is now, if we can get that passed, we can get more Democrats elected, and then we can pass the more sweeping laws that we want to pass.
Yeah.
But this, at least this opens the door to that and makes that possible, and increases Democrats' chances of being in a position to make bigger changes.
Well, that's just ultimately it. I mean, we were spending a lot of time talking about the filibuster and using that as the pretext toward getting more legislation passed through the Senate. But at the same time, we have the power to do this, not necessarily to quote too heavily the He-Man cartoons, but we do. We have the power. The power is next year's election, the 22 midterms. If we can expand our majority in the United States Senate, we may not need to reform the filibuster, although we still need to do it because we've put it out there. And if we don't, they're going to do it. But
As you and Jody said, if we don't do it, the Republicans will. I think what you're going to see happen instead, I think they're going to carve out now for the immediate things we need to do, the voting rights and the infrastructure bill. When we can increase our majority, then we can. Then I think we'll be in a position to accomplish these things. I don't think we can eliminate the filibuster with the majority, the weak majority that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just carve it out to make it possible to eliminate the filibuster.
That's a smart approach, I think. And this is the key. This is the thing we have to bear in mind is motivation for 22. And we need all the motivation we can get because the margins are so narrow right now that it could swing either way. And we've got to push it big time in the other direction. I mean,
I don't know that you can apply the politics of the California recall to the nation because California is pretty unique and pretty big and it certainly isn't a wake up call. Isn't everything a wake up call now? It certainly is a good sign, and I'm encouraging people to carry that kind of momentum. Let's get a 70-30 or 60, 65-25, majority in the next election. Let's carry the energy from that California victory. Let's make it nationwide.
Right.
Let's do that again nationwide in 22.
Well,
we just having lived through the recall in 2003, the turnout for this was way higher. Because I think we learned. I mean, as bad as Schwarzenegger was, Larry Elder would have killed the state.
Well, I think right now, I mean, I'd be surprised if there weren't pieces of legislation being introduced right now in Sacramento.
Well, there are. They already have. They're ahead of you. I think it's a very good sign for the country, even though it's kind of a unique situation.
Mm-hmm.
The exit polls on the recall have been fascinating because although COVID-19 was considered the issue of the election, primarily by most voters, exit polls had people saying, I voted this time because of what happened in Texas.
Look, we have right around the corner, we have the latest edition of Who's Suing Trump Today. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. We're late for a break. We'll be back right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The Bob Seska Show.
I need it all. I want it all.
Hey, can we play this whole song? I want to play the whole goddamn thing. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to save it for the Indie Music Countdown. Yeah, this is Carol Pacey and the Honey Shakers. Brand new recording artist to the show. There's a song called If Romance Is Dead, Then I Want to Be Dead. Okay.
Bob?
Yeah?
Are you going to play anything peppy today?
Yeah. Oh, man. The album is called Bliss from Arizona. Again, Carol Pacey and the Honey Shakers. Holy shit. Carol Pacey and the Honey Shakers.com. Link in the description of BobSeska.com under this episode. Love it, love it, love it. We're going to be hearing a lot from these guys, I think.
I don't know what their caffeine intake is, but they should keep it right here.
Exactly right. Okay, BobSeska.com/music to submit your stuff to the show. Thank you for doing that in advance. Oh, you know what? I think we've got a new edition of Who's Suing Trump Today. So.
Look at all the litigation that he hopes will go away. Who's suing Trump? Who's suing Trump? Who's suing Trump today?
Thank you, George Harris.
Professionally done. That's cool.
Yeah. Love it. So a federal judge denied Trump's request to stop E. Jean Carroll's defamation lawsuit against Trump from moving forward. The ruling allows for the case to proceed as an appeals court weighs whether Trump is immune from the suit. Carroll alleges Trump assaulted her in the Bergdorf Goodman department store in 1995 or 1996 and then defamed her by calling her a liar when she went public with her claims in 2019. Trump and the Justice Department have argued Trump can't be sued because the comments were made while he was president. So we're cheering on E. Jean Carroll in this lawsuit. Yeah. You know, hopefully this is something else that will stick. And at the very least, in the very near term, make Donald Trump's life miserable. That's always the thing that makes me the most happy. I think that was one of the things that as long as Donald Trump is being made miserable by all of these lawsuits and all of these investigations, I kind of enjoy that part a lot.
From this lawsuit to the vaccine refusers, you know, there's no difference between them. There's no limit to the lies they will tell.
No doubt. Absolutely not. Well, the latest Red Hat freakout, speaking of lies, is that Joe Biden is rationing monoclonal antibodies.
Oh, God.
And trying to keep them away from the red states.
No.
And the reason I know about this is because I saw Don Jr. tweet earlier today. He said, Americans will die because of Biden's despicable decision to punish his political enemies in red states by restricting their ability to secure life-saving monoclonal antibody treatments for all that need them. Well, what's happening now is the red states are using way more than their fair share of the supply of monoclonal antibody treatments. Seven states, Texas, Florida, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, Louisiana, and Alabama, accounted for 70% of all monoclonal antibody orders in early September. So, yeah, they're using more than their fair share, which makes it scarce for other states that may need them at the same time.
And those same states are withholding from their people pandemic-related funds from the federal government that were to have been distributed to the people of those particular states.
Yeah. So the Biden administration, according to Politico, is imposing new limits on states' ability to access COVID-19 antibody treatments amid rising demand from GOP governors who have relied on the drug as a primary weapon against the virus.
And against the vaccines, in the case of DeSantis. I mean, he's been out pushing the monoclonal antibodies while, giving people a pass on the vaccines.
Yeah, exactly right. So this isn't a matter of, we're not going to get vaccinated. We're just going to treat everybody with monoclonal antibodies. We're just going to skip that step and go right to this. And that's why we're using more than our fair share. And it completely makes sense that Biden would say, okay, you know what? No. You got to get your people to do the vaccine first.
Right.
You got to get them vaccinated first.
No, we'd rather get infected and then get the treatment for that than we would, we don't know what's in it, than get the vaccine that we don't know what's in it to prevent getting the infection.
Right. Federal health officials plan to allocate specific amounts to each state under this new approach in an effort to more evenly distribute the 150,000 doses that the government makes available each week. So this, to me, this makes perfect sense. But it's, you know, again, it's the latest. Our heads are going to explode now because of Joe Biden and all of this, even though these people are the ones who are being irresponsible. And that's you're just going to have to deal with it. You're either responsible or you face the consequences of your irresponsibility.
Their exploding heads have become a source of entertainment for me.
Yeah, that is also true. It's one of my most favoritist pastimes, Buzz. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more fun to me right now, and I don't know what this says about me, than seeing Don Jr.'s head exploding on Twitter. And then it's
what Don Jr. doesn't know, probably, and wouldn't tell you if he did, is that most of the money that Biden has doled out to Americans has gone to red states, to the people of red states.
That's right.
His programs are very popular, even among some Republicans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so Biden is in there buying some votes while they're out there yelling and their heads exploding.
Yep. Well, it says here also that the approach is likely to cut into shipments of GOP-led states in the Southeast that have made the pricey antibody drug a central part of their pandemic strategy. Mm-hmm. As you were just saying, Buzz.
And one of DeSantis's biggest donors has great interest in the company that makes the monoclonal antibodies.
Has the monoclonal antibodies treatment been approved by the FDA? Has that been finally officially approved?
No.
I think it's still under emergency use.
We know it works. We know the CDC encourages people to make a veil of it, especially since it is also provided free.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know it works. The question is the difference between the vaccinations and...
Right.
By the way, I keep mistaking vaccine and vaccination. I keep swapping those words indiscriminately, and I know the difference between the two. It's just a matter of slip of the tongue. But the monoclonal antibody treatment has not been approved by the FDA. So this nonsense about, well, we don't know what it is and we don't know what it's going to do. And it hasn't been approved. It's this emergency use authorization that we don't know. We don't know what this even means.
But the whole idea of we'd rather get sick and take the medicine than take the medicine and not get sick.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Well, meantime, 1 in 500 Americans have died from COVID-19 in the 19 months since the nation first reported coronavirus infections. As of Tuesday night, 663,000 total people in the U.S. had died of COVID-19. The country averaged 1,805 new COVID-19 cases each day over the past week. About 62% of Americans have received at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine. Last among the world's 7 wealthiest democracies.
Yeah, I keep seeing numbers that say 76% have gotten at least one shot. So yeah. There's some conflicting.
I'm seeing that too. New York Times sends me their coronavirus tracker, and they're more conservative than the CDC.
I see. Okay.
And so I get California, Los Angeles, and I get Jacksonville, Florida, because that's where most of Lonnie's family lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jacksonville is terrible.
Right. I'm trying to find here.
This is a new, while you're looking, this is a new grim milestone now that we know that 1 in 500 Americans have died from COVID-19. In Florida, it's 1 in 400.
Yeah.
In the 65 to 80 age group, it's 1 in, I'm trying to remember, I think 1 in 170, roughly.
Yeah.
And a much higher for over 80, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Florida, nursing homes are starting to get infected again with the Delta variant.
Yeah.
This is not over yet.
We told Lonnie's dad and stepmom, get your third shot because they're in their 70s.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Like, get it now because they got their vaccinations in February. It's like, okay, go get your third shot. My mom got hers. I believe my stepdad got his. I can't wait until October to get mine.
Yeah. Same here. And as this progresses, I think what we're going to see, the way this seems to be playing out, is they're going to recommend it highly for people over 65 and for those at risk. Mm-hmm. I think they're also eventually, what we're going to see is the Pfizer vaccine will become the booster shot for all of the other vaccines. May be Pfizer. Now, I think it was Moderna is the most effective at 95%. I'm doing this from memory. AstraZeneca was second at 93%. Pfizer was third at 92%, And J&J was higher than I expected. I don't recall the number now, but it was up around close to 80%.
For the booster or for Delta?
For the infection itself. I mean, okay. that was just those are the efficacy numbers on the various vaccines overall.
Yeah, in the meantime, the FDA has apparently declined to endorse a booster shot from Pfizer.
They're keeping mum, but they're kind of saying it's because right now I'm looking to schedule my third shot and I can't. And they're like, is this your first shot, your second shot, or your third shot?
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know. This is clearly not a rejection of the booster. This is, we're just taking our time a little bit with this. The FDA Vaccine Advisory Committee is scheduled to review the report on Friday and recommend whether or not the agency should approve the booster shot. So,
and the CDC will then weigh in and make a final decision on Monday.
Yeah.
The administration has been pretty determined on this because they went to all the trouble. Mm-hmm. And although there are scientists who dissent from the opinion that there should be a booster shot because they say the efficacy remains high enough that we don't need it. We also know that a third shot will boost your immunity even more. And there's a school of thought now, even among public health officials, not politicians, but public health officials, you know what? We've kind of put this out there for the people and they're not going to be happy if we don't give it to them.
Yeah.
So expect that to be part of the decision-making process when the CDC weighs in. You may be seeing press reports now that say, now a lot of scientists are in disagreement on whether there should be a third, and now we don't know if there's going to be a third. I'm going to put my money on there's going to be a third.
You know what I keep hearing in the back of my head as we talk about this is, boy, the internet has made all of this so much worse.
You know what
I
mean?
I can't help but to go back to that. And it's a futile effort. I shouldn't be doing it because it's not like anyone's going to come along and shut down the internet or that the internet is suddenly going to disappear or that anyone using the internet is suddenly going to become a responsible consumer of information. I'm just saying that, boy, it'd have been great if there wasn't any internet for this pandemic, because that's what's really, that's one of the things that has exacerbated the shirkerism that's happening out there.
Oh, yeah. Facebook and YouTube and Fox News. And you know, that's what we're up against. And somebody, I've seen a number of people speculate how things might have been different if Twitter had existed on 9/11.
Oh, my God. Oh, don't even.
Or during polio or smallpox.
Right.
World War II. Come on. This is just, this is utter insanity. I mean, I literally cannot even.
Is there a way? Here's a good question. Is there a way to corral disinformation like Fox News and OAN? Is there a way to corral that and still have free speech?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if Fox News and American democracy can coexist, you know, at the same time.
I guess my argument would be the fire in a theater thing.
Yeah, exactly.
In effect, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is the FCC only takes care of over-the-air broadcasts.
Change that. Mm-hmm. Let's change that.
Let's move it to cable and move it to the internet.
Mm, absolutely.
Let's just do it. It's communications, people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I agree. And you know what, Jody? I wanted to ask you, do you want to talk about your Facebook post? This really grabbed
me. Which one?
The one that starts out with, I am a dick.
Oh, I am a dick.
Yeah.
Really?
Let me read this out loud. I don't know if you have it handy, but I'd love to get more insight on this particular Facebook post. You wrote, I am a dick, mainly because I want to help others. I want people to get vaccinated, but I have family members that won't, so I can't see them for obvious reasons, let alone some friends who are anti-vax and plandemic folks. So I have to navigate with people I love who won't listen to science, and I am super sad. I wish them all well, but we'll never see them unless they are vaccinated against this disease.
Amen.
Very well said.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I know, Buzz, you went through the same kind of thing we talked about on Tuesday.
If I may say so, all three of us have gone through some version of this. It sounds like some of Jody's family might be a little more radical. Then some of my people are not quite that radical, but they are vaccine refusers, nevertheless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've taken, Jody, I applaud you because I've taken exactly that same position.
Well, my dad's first wife passed away last year, not from COVID, but, you know, she was, you know, declining and she died last summer or two summers ago. And we were all supposed to get together this coming October. And my siblings are all vaccinated.
Yeah.
But two of my sister's children are not.
Mm-hmm.
And their children can't be because they're too young.
Right.
Yeah.
And so basically my other sisters and my brother all said, well, they can't come. They're not vaccinated, they cannot be at this memorial for their grandmother.
Yeah.
And great-grandmother for the little kids. And my two sisters, whose children they are, they're like, that's not fair. And it's like, no, that is fair. Mm-hmm. That's just how polite society is. Thank you very much. If they choose not to get vaccinated, that's fine. It's a privilege to go to this memorial, not a right.
Right.
It's a privilege to go to a restaurant. It's a privilege to go to your job. Thank you very much. It's a privilege to go to things in polite society when there is something that can prevent death.
Yeah.
In their own children. It's not even that. It's like, okay, if you didn't have kids, that's one thing. It's terrible. But you can infect your own children and they can die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bette Midler posted a meme of a boat and it printed over that picture. Yeah, it was a story that I won't get exactly right. But basically, it's about a boat upon which one passenger decides to drill a hole in his floor in his cabin.
Yeah.
And as the boat fills up with water, the other passengers are pissed. And the man says, hey, my cabin, I can do with it what I want to. And the story ends by saying, but we're all on the same boat.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I have one friend that I've known for, Jesus, how old am I? I've known him for almost 40 years, and he's a plandemic guy.
Oh. What is that specifically, Jody? Can you describe what plandemic
is? Plandemic was something that came out about a year ago.
Fake documentary.
A documentary stating that this is not, it was saying that COVID was a hoax.
And then he
literally said he's traveling in Europe right now, which means he's vaccinated. And he said, no, I thought I had a cold, but then it might have been COVID. So I took some ivermectin. And it's like my other friend goes, yeah, you had a cold.
Jesus.
And good thing. And he goes, well, I got the human dosage, which is better than buying the horse paste version
of
it. But it's like, dude, did you have a parasite? Because if you didn't, it did nothing for your cold.
That's right.
He has no parasites now.
He doesn't. He is worm free.
Parasite free. If we ever have a parasite pandemic, he's set.
He's roundworm free. And then he keeps posting this shit on my page, and I just delete it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not going to let that be on my. If he wants to post it on his bullshit page, that's his problem. I'm not doing it because he's trying to engage me, and I'm like, I'm not going to engage with stupidity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I at least hope we have abandoned this concept that if you're a healthy dude, you're not going to get COVID. Because
no, we haven't. We haven't. There's still people out there who believe that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Joe Rogan was, marketing in that idea for almost the entirety of the pandemic up until he tested positive for COVID and had every medication, including the kitchen sink, according to him, thrown into his gullet. The other thing is, yesterday, I spoke with my friend Sean Phillips, who's an author. He's a bodybuilder. He's got expertise in the fitness industry. And, you know, he's been all around the block when it comes to the fitness industry. Well, his brother, Bill, is also a bodybuilder. And he's Bill Phillips wrote the best-selling book on fitness in history. It's called Body for Life. It sold a gazillion copies. And Bill Phillips ended up getting COVID in January of 2020. Like one of the first people to end up getting COVID in this country. And so he figured, well, I've got the antibodies. I'm not going to get it again. And so when it came time to get the vaccination, didn't get the vaccination.
Right.
And so he ended up getting long haul COVID after not getting vaccinated this past summer. Sure. And so long haul COVID, let's describe what happened to Bill Phillips with long haul COVID. He ended up being put into a medically induced coma.
Oh, God.
It was that bad. Yeah, I remember. And then on top of that, I think he lost 70 pounds of muscle mass.
Wow.
While he was recovering. And again, we're talking about a bodybuilder, a guy whose entire life was about fitness. And not only did he get COVID once, he got COVID twice.
Sure.
While having still some antibodies in him. Mm-hmm. And so
won't help you.
Yeah.
Especially against the Delta variant.
So can we please strike this nonsense? And I'm not obviously all of us here on the show and everyone listening to the show. We all realize this. But can we get the word out there with all of these examples, whether it's Joe Rogan, Bill Phillips, anyone else, even Sean Phillips, who I spoke to yesterday. Sean Phillips got a breakthrough COVID over the summer with symptoms. So we're talking about
a friend of mine did, too. Had she not been vaccinated, she may not have survive.
Yeah. Two of the fittest people I know ended up getting breakthrough, or not breakthrough, but one of them got breakthrough. The other got it a second time, medically induced coma. Anyone who says to you, oh my God, I'm so healthy, there's no way I can get COVID. Yeah. If they're still playing that game, you need to set them right. You need to send them a link to any article about Joe Rogan getting it or Bill Phillips getting it. I mean, the Bill Phillips photography, I mean, the before and after picture, you know, is minus 70 pounds of muscle mass.
Jesus.
Yeah, and this is not going away. I mean, I know Sean Phillips with the breakthrough infection was reporting that, you know, when he gets like an itch on his arm or something like that, he'll go to scratch it and his skin will start bleeding.
If I sent that to a relative who believes that they are strong and healthy enough to avoid getting the vaccine, it wouldn't change that relative's mind.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend. She's been fighting long COVID for over a year now.
Mm.
And she went to the hospital a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
She has to have long-term care now. She had to do a GoFundMe because her husband and her couldn't afford, because she needs in-home care. She can't work. And she said she was just in so much pain in her trunk, you know, because she has not basically stopped coughing in a year. And so this one hospital was like, no, you need to go to the ER. The ER was full. So they went to another hospital. And the doctor said, you know, a cough travels at 50 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And when your muscles are constantly coughing, he goes, your internal organs are fine. It's your muscles that are sore from constantly. Because if you cough a lot, it ends up you get some nice core activity going. But she doesn't need that.
That's my workout, actually.
Exactly. But I mean, the poor lady, she can barely walk on occasion.
Yeah.
And she's only in her 40s.
You know, going back to Bill Phillips real quick, he broke a rib coughing so much. I mean,
she has almost done that. She's almost done that, and it's that bad.
And here's I mean, I think we forget about this too. All the people crippled by COVID-19. Uh-huh. And we talk about the number of people who died in a war. We often forget to mention the number of people wounded, permanently disfigured from war. Well, like war, COVID has the same kind of casualties. Yeah. In addition to the deaths, they're the people who are permanently damaged. COVID goes for the body's major organs. Mm-hmm. It can cause permanent damage in your heart, in your lungs,
kidneys,
in your brain. Mm-hmm. And there are people who have gone nuts because the COVID damaged their brains.
Yeah. I was telling Kimberly yesterday about Bill and Sean Phillips, and she turned white as a ghost. And she's already, she already has fair skin. She's got that Norlandish skin. Yeah. She looks like she's from Sweden or something like that. And she turned white as a ghost. And she just said, I don't want to get this thing. And I said, yeah, no, no. I'm surprised that so many people are taking such a risk given what some of these reports have been, some of the physical damage that is taking place as a result of testing positive for COVID, especially symptomatic COVID. So why would anyone take that kind of chance? Taking that gamble is insane. It's absolutely insane.
I just got an email from a restaurant that Lonnie and I like. They're not just only doing outdoor dining because you can dine indoors here, but they do have a nightclub that is upstairs.
Yeah.
And I've seen people play there, and they literally just sent an email out to the people, and they're like, now you have to be vaccinated to come into Feinstein's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And
thank God.
We're going on Saturday. We were heading into Burbank the other day, and we drove by Flappers, which is this comedy club. And Jay Leno is playing on our anniversary. So Lonnie was like, can we go? I said, let's make sure they're requiring vaccination because I'm not going indoors without that. And I said, and I'm masking up until I have to eat or drink.
Right.
Well, that's smart. No. Yeah.
But they're not demanding masks, but they are demanding vaccination proof. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have it, you don't get in.
Isn't it nice to know that we're on the verge of a world where folks like us can go someplace and feel relatively safe? As opposed,
this will be my first indoor venture in a year and a half.
Yeah,
almost,
thank God.
More than that. Yeah. And I'm a little terrified.
The difference, understandable. Imagine what it would be like here in Florida, Jody.
Yeah. I mean, here we have, I think it's 67% of us 12 and over are fully vaccinated in the county.
Wow.
Which is good. And overall, it's 58% all ages. So we're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it were better, but there's a lot of us here that are still stupid. Didn't Stephanie read yesterday that they might be able to give kids five and up by the end of September, potentially getting the emergency authorization.
They definitely hope to have the shots in young children's arms before Halloween.
Mm. That's what I'm hoping. I talked to my neighbor across the street the other day because his oldest is 12, but his youngest is under 12. And I said, how are you guys doing this past year? And he goes, it's been tough. Mm-hmm. You know, socialization alone is tough.
Yeah.
And I said, I hope that they can get, you know, his daughter's 11, so she's not quite there yet.
Right.
He says, I cannot wait to give them their vaccine.
The hardest thing to be right now is the parent of a child under 12.
I can't even fathom the fear that is going. I mean, luckily LA is requiring masks and teachers have to be vaccinated. Everybody over the age of 12 has to be vaccinated to just go to school.
Yeah.
And even the schools that are, like the middle school that I walk near, so it's 12 and over, all the kids are always wearing masks in spite of being vaccinated now.
This year for Halloween, I'm handing out monoclonal antibodies.
All right. On that note, we're way late for a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Yeah, the best of Swedish jazz on the show here today. This is Marius Bilgo-Benson. The song called Joy from the Spirit of Love.
I hear a little Benson in that.
That's right. This is from Stockholm, Sweden. Oh, my God. We love the Swedes here on the show.
How cool is that? You're listening to smooth jazz.
Swedish smooth jazz.
That's right.
Yeah. BilgoBenson.com, link in the description to support Marius Bilgo-Benson. This is great stuff.
You're getting a new liner.
That's exactly right. Good. Please, I need the Swedish jazz liner. Thank you. Let's see here. Yeah. Children are being decimated by COVID right now. Just continuing what we were discussing before the break. COVID-19 cases in children have risen 30-fold since late June and are now at record highs, with nearly 500,000 new child cases reported in the past 2 weeks.
Good time to remember all the times Republicans told us it doesn't affect kids.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. Remember that yarn years ago?
They're still telling that lie.
Yeah. And speaking of kids, oh my God, these two teenage boys in Florida were arrested for planning a mass shooting at their school. And what shocked me the most about this story was not that kids are planning a mass shooting, which ought to be shocking to all of us by now, but it's happened so often that it's just like, oh, another one of those. But these kids look like kids. I mean, I swear to God.
They do. They don't look the type, do they?
Yeah. They look super young. They look like they're like 9 years old, the both of them.
11, I think.
Yeah. They are. I think they're 11, somewhere around that age, but they look much younger than that. Two teenage boys in Florida have been arrested after planning a mass shooting at their school. The boys looked for guns on the black market, studied ways to build pipe bombs, and heavily researched Columbine.
Underscore that.
Mm-hmm. Police
and the police. Yeah, I understand. I understand the police. And this is a little disturbing. I don't know what to make of this. The police, between the two boys, the police had been to their homes 40 times.
Oh, my God. No, actually, it's 80 times.
80? Oh, I'm sorry. That was
40 times each?
Average of 40 yeah. times each. One may have gotten more visits than the other.
But. Yeah, just yeah. incredible. And again, I can't get beyond the fact that they look like they're 4 years old, for God's sake.
I know.
Were they bullied? I mean, because that was the Columbine reasoning.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about that in there. But
I'd love to know the answer to that.
Yeah, I'm seeing a Confederate flag. I'm seeing all kinds of shit.
What are their parents like?
I don't know. Well,
I think you just found out.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
you go, yeah.
When police searched their homes, they found knives, a gun, and a map marked with the locations of each of the school's interior cameras. Oh, the mother of one of the boys said her son is, quote, just a little boy who didn't mm-hmm. think her son's plans were serious.
No. He was just playing.
Yeah, it was like a video game is all
you
that
know
was.
How boys are.
Yeah, but again, what... Jesus. What triggers
what is wrong
this?
With these kids? Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, and that's it seems like that's the dominating reaction as I scroll through this thread on Twitter. It's just like everyone's going, why? What the? How do you? I mean, I can imagine like post-pubescent boys at a certain age getting, you know, really fired up, hormones raging, all of these societal influences, clearly rage happening all around them. And acting out that way. But little boys, I mean, prepubescent little boys engaging in this kind of planning, there's something fucked up out there. And I can't help but to,
it got to be products of their environment. I would start with the parents, but their entire worlds are filled with people like that.
Yeah.
They live in an age, especially the Trump era and post-Trump era, where these folks feel they have permission to act out mm-hmm. in hateful ways. And so they're soaking in a bowl of hate. And, it's obviously the responsibility ultimately falls on these 11-year-old boys. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it falls on that entire culture.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so, you know, look, ultimately, human beings are monkey see, monkey do. You know, these kids see their parents acting out, saying certain things, watching Fox News Channel, becoming radicalized through whatever means, the usual suspects, fill in the blanks, if you will. And so naturally, this is the environment they're in. They're, as you said, Buzz, they're soaking in it. They're soaking in the rage. They're soaking in the anger. And so it leads to things like this. But thank God the authorities seem to have stopped this before we had yet another tragedy. And, you know, look, we've got this. The possibility of gun massacres, mass shootings in our schools. At the same time, kids are being asked to go to school and get a potentially deadly virus in an era when education is we badly need reform in education right now.
I saw a teacher post today that she keeps wasp spray, which shoots about 30 feet, and bowls of rocks in her classroom, and the students know those are there to defend themselves against a shooter.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Which I guess they're supposed to throw while they're wearing their masks.
Yeah. And on top of that, the Koreans are launching nuclear missile tests.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Listen,
we're fine.
We have solved everything in this hour.
We have.
We have figured out how to make jetpacks made of beef. That is figured out. Well, actually, no, we didn't talk about that. So why didn't we? I'm just kidding.
That's up next. That's up next
on the Shadow Docket program. We're going to talk about how to make your very own jetpack made of beef.
Don't miss it.
And that'll happen on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. We're not going to be talking about how to make a jetpack made of beef.
Oh, come on, Bob. That's just me.
You only know if you're a Patreon subscriber.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, it's just the brain worms talking. I've got a little minor case of brain worms.
You're not seeing those dots again, are you?
No, but thank you to everyone for your advice about my ocular migraine on Tuesday. I appreciate everyone's concern.
I've had those. Those are scary.
Oh, yes, they are. They're never not scary. For about 20 minutes, you're like, oh, my God, is this going to be forever or is this
going
to go away?
Am I dying? What is going on?
right. Am I having a stroke? What's going on? Am I losing? Is there a tumor? I don't know. It's not a tumor. I don't think.
It's not a tumor.
No, it's not. Thank you. Okay, postmortem show. No, it's not the postmortem show anymore. The shadow docket.
The stupid habits.
God damn it. Okay, that's coming up next. See you over there, folks. Thank you, Buzz. And thank you, Jody,
you,
too.
Buzz.
Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
It's not a tumor.